Avoid the bad habit of domesticating the prophet of your choice, turning him to a cheerleader for your way of thinking and way of life. Remember that all the great prophets were courageous and outrageous folks who rallied against the powers that be, challenged self-satisfied piosity, threatened the prevailing social order, and would find you falling short in some significant ways. And this week's opening quote comes from Parker J. Palmer. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I'll be your host for the next hour. We do often do exactly that, don't we, folks? We often domesticate our chosen prophet and turn them into a cheerleader for our way of thinking. Very often when we look for self-help books or read the works of others, what we're looking for is reinforcement to our own way of thinking, something that we can present to our friends or peers or family and say, look, look, see what I'm saying is true. This man has just said the same thing. But really, what that is doing is cherry-picking information and using it to bolster our own way of thinking and bolster our own particular lifestyle, bolster our own personal philosophies, if you will. And it isn't just throughout life that we do this and in philosophical pursuits, but we can also do this in as much as the way we look at the world, when we're looking at the news, when we're discussing what's going on around the world, and even looking at the different news items that we're fed. Very often we will only look at the news items, we'll only visit the websites or buy the certain magazines or newspapers which bolster our already preconceived notions. And this is a very dangerous way of thinking, and it's certainly no way for a person to be truly informed or to truly educate themselves in the real and factual nature of this world. You find that many people who claim to be thinking outside of the box may well be thinking outside of some particular mainstream box, but they are thinking well within the confines of another box that they have constructed for themselves. And these type of mental constructs are usually far more difficult to get people to think outside of because they simply cannot see that there is one there. And if you attempt to point it out to them, usually they interpret it as an attack against their intellect and their ego kicks in and they simply shut down and go into cognitive dissonance about their own mental constructs. It's very interesting the way the human mind works, isn't it? But we do this. We do this to ourselves, and when people attempt to point it out to us, we generally get very defensive. And this, of course, is a result of the training and education system that we're put through. It's a very competitive education system which teaches us to always view any type of thinking outside of what we would conceive to be the norm as a personal attack. It's interesting, but that's generally the way people think, and they become quite personal in their responses to any suggestion that they may be thinking within a little box of their own construction. And they usually get quite aggressive and quite defamatory in any responses they may offer to these types of criticisms. People, of course, get as aggressive as they do because of their own insecurities, folks. This is why people get angry when they are questioned about certain beliefs. It's borderline fanaticism, folks. And what makes a fanatic is the fact that their faith rests on a mighty frail foundation, and so they have to keep continually reinforcing their belief in their beliefs. This is what fanaticism is. And this is unfortunately what we see generally in people's own belief systems within this society. And this is a structure that has been created by this society, folks. This is an emotional state that comes from this social system itself. But it's this attitude that people have that makes it so difficult to be able to share information, and it makes it so difficult for people to be able to put their stuff down with each other and actually sit down and converse and find a way out of this mess. Because people are very often threatened by anything which may cause them to question their own belief system. And that's very unfortunate, but that is one of the main problems that we're facing, folks. It's people's egos, if you will, that causes them to view their way as being the only way, and anything that questions their way as being an affront to their intellect, and therefore an affront against them, and therefore a personal attack, and therefore not a place that they wish to go. It really is a great shame that many people think this way, but unfortunately it's a result of this system and it is simply the way many people think. And of course it makes it very difficult to open up any dialogue for any of the many mysteries that we are wanting to find the answer for, or any solutions to the problems that we are facing. And the problems that we are facing are so many and are coming from so many different directions that it can at times seem insurmountable to people, but really when you see how many directions they're coming from and you see that it all really has its basis in this system, then it becomes apparent that the way to emancipate ourselves from all of these issues is to simply step away from the system. Non-compliance, folks, and that may seem like it won't work to people, but it will. The problem with it is it will only work if everybody does it. That's the thing. We have to be prepared to simply stand up and call things for what they are and step away from the system. But it's not going to work if we don't have this respect, folks. And that's why I've gone through that little scenario at the beginning to attempt to help people understand why it's so difficult to have conversations with people sometimes. It's simply the programming that these people have been subject to. But we've got to the stage, folks, we've got to put it all down. We've got to really see what's going on in this world, and we've got to be prepared to step away from it and call things for what they are. You know, if we're not going to call our politicians out as the criminals that they are, then we can't expect to see any change from within this system. If we're going to continually vote people in and vote people out and look for remedy within the parameters of the corrupt construct that is enslaving us, then we're just going to remain in a state of slavery. It's as simple as that, folks. We really do need to look at this and call it for what it is. If we don't call it for what it is, then everything else is just irrelevant from that point, because we're not addressing things from the correct perspective to begin with. We've got to have the correct perspective and simply call things for what they are before we can ever hope to find any remedy to the current human condition. And what exactly is the current human condition, folks? Well, the current human condition is most definitely one of slavery, and it's most definitely one of incredible manipulation. Manipulation of consciousness, manipulation of reality itself via manipulation of what people think is possible, and manipulation of people's biology, manipulation of their environment, manipulation of people in every possible way that is conceivable. Even electromagnetic manipulation, and electromagnetic manipulation is something that is very overlooked by people because it is something that they cannot touch, something that they cannot see or hear or taste or smell. It's something that exists in the etheric world, and so therefore to many people it is something that exists outside of their reality, and it's something that they kind of fob off and do not think is a reality. It's something that they do not conceive as being possible, but it is possible, folks, for people to be manipulated electromagnetically, and that is one of the main things that is going on, both within our biological systems, within our bodies, and also within our thought processes. I mean, just the other day I posted in my headlines about a patent that had been taken out on how people could be manipulated, moods could be manipulated via people's computer monitors. It's quite an old patent, but I posted it on the website the other day. I've also posted in the second film that I made, New World Order, The Final Solution, where they had put a device on top of a cat's head and they were manipulating the mood of the cat via changing the frequencies of the device and the frequencies that were going into the cat's brain. And of course, this was back before they had wireless technology. Now, of course, they do not need devices. They can do it simply by wireless technology and by putting a certain frequency into the field. And this has been confirmed, folks. So they are actually able to change people's moods electromagnetically. And if they're able to change people's moods, well, what else are they able to change? And when you really begin to look into this, folks, and you begin to look into the aerial spraying and what's in the aerial spraying, what the atmosphere is like now, our atmosphere is actually conductive now. It never used to be, but it is. And then you look at the smart grid that's being put in place, the wireless technology that is appearing everywhere, the fact that everybody, almost everybody, is walking around with a microwave device on them, i.e. their mobile phone. And you can see where all of this is going and how easy it has become to manipulate human consciousness and thus manipulate the human condition. And this is also done by control of people's belief systems, folks. What people believe is true. What people believe is true about history. I mean, we've been fed a completely false history. Everything is very, very different to what we believe it to be. There's a book that I put out, a free ebook that I put out back in 2005 called Earth's Forbidden Secrets. And what I did in that book was just attempt to show people that everything we've been told about history is wrong. And this has to a large extent caused people to view humankind as playing the game on a completely different playing field to the one they're actually playing on, simply because people are, for the most part, unaware of the great potential of the human experience, the huge possibilities in human potential. I mean, we have an incredible potential, folks. We are able to create so many things. And were we left to our own devices and left to create to our fullest capability and to our fullest potential, then we would have a very, very different world to the one that we've got. And most of the processes that prevent us from being this way are the limitations we put upon ourselves because of our belief of what reality is, and also the way our social systems work, the way our social systems are constructed in such a way as to keep us at loggerheads with each other, in competition with each other, and thus completely divided from each other. This way we never get to realize our full creative potential because we never get to work in a truly cooperative environment. We're simply not given the ability to do so. We're all forced to pay to be alive. We're all forced to run on the treadmill and to compete with each other in order to do so. And so we never really get the time to look at what's actually going on around us and to view ourselves from a truly philosophical perspective. We simply don't have the time for philosophical pursuits, not for the most part. Many people in society are simply not ever given the space where they are free to think about such things. They're all too busy with the rigors of everyday survival within a system that is essentially detrimental to human survival. It's an interesting thing, folks, and it's why many people find it so difficult to find a way out of the system, because they don't realize that the problem is the system itself. And even when you suggest that people step outside of the system, they see this as something totally alien to themselves. They don't realize that all it really requires to step outside of the system is to do the right thing in all you do, to follow moral parameters rather than legal parameters. That's all it really takes, folks. Because this system is designed to train people to act in a sociopathic manner, and it's designed to train people to consolidate the power for the system. That's what we do. That's what we have been trained into believing success is. We believe success is making our lives more efficient and more easily manageable, but all we really do is consolidate the control grid by thinking in that way. We make the system more efficient. We make humanity less required by the system. And by doing so, we are creating a system that has its own intelligence. It's an artificial intelligence, but it is its own intelligence. And that's what this control grid is, folks. It's an AI-based control grid. That's where we're heading. We're heading for a world that is completely AI-controlled. And I've been pointing this out to you quite frequently lately because it's a reality. It's true. This is what I was suggesting in my last film, Transformation, that I made in 2012, that this is the direction that we're going. And everything that I've seen since making that film, and when I made that film, people told me I was really going out on a limb, but everything I've seen since making that film has simply served to confirm the observations that I made in that film. The world and everything in the world and on the world is being genetically modified, ladies and gentlemen. That's what's happening, and it's happening right under everybody's noses. People just aren't paying attention because people, for the most part, are simply not aware that it is happening. And again, this is because people don't believe it's possible that such a thing could be happening, because they are constrained by their belief systems, by their education systems, and by the information that they're fed by the mainstream media. The problem is that even when people do wake up to the fact that these things are going on, they don't really know what to do about it because they believe themselves to be constrained by the rules that the politicians write on paper. And that's why we need the voice of the whole community, folks. This is why I've been speaking out about a strong communal response for so long, and why I've been suggesting people break down the barriers in their own local communities so that they can stand together as one united voice. because I really believe this is what we need. You know, one person stands up and tries to make a difference. It never really gets anywhere unless they have the support of the people around them. And we're never going to achieve this if we can't put down our stuff with each other and start showing a little respect for each other and stand up as one united voice. And again, this is why I have been speaking out so much against anything which is creating division in this movement, because division is our greatest enemy. And not only is it our greatest enemy, it is the most effective tool that has been used against us. It is the most effective method of keeping any response to this system compartmentalized and thus rendering it ineffective. And again, this is a problem we are attempting to alleviate with the Full Circle Project. What we are attempting to do with Full Circle Project is create a coordinated response so that even if people are operating from their own particular compartment, i.e. addressing their own particular symptom, at least the focus that this compartment has is directed to the root core of the problem, the same as every other little compartment is directing their focus towards the root core of the problem. Because if we do that, then we'll find that even though they have trained people to react in a compartmentalized manner in any response to this system, they're going to find that each compartment is now directing its focus at the head of the snake, and that is going to freak them out. And it's a mechanism we can use which can unite the entire planet into a movement without any leaders, and this is something that I think will be incredibly effective. So again, I do urge people to go and sign up to the Full Circle Project. The website is fullcircleproject.net. Please do go and sign up to the Community Connector and start linking up with people in your local area, and let's get some grass fires lit. We really do need to light some grass fires, folks. And lately I've been getting a lot of criticism as well for suggesting that people stop spending their time going down rabbit holes. People have suggested that I'm suggesting that people don't research, and no, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying, folks, is don't go down rabbit holes of endless debate. I mean, it's nice to look at things and research things on the side in your spare time, kind of like a hobby if you want to, but if you're involved in this movement, the truth movement, if that's what you want to call it, or the global awakening movement, or the alternate media, or whatever you want to call it, the focus really needs to be on empowering others and taking positive steps against this system. So if you're going down a rabbit hole which is not looking at solutions, then what is the point of it? Because if it's just a rabbit hole of endless debate and another mystery you can never solve, then it's just distracting you from what's going on around you. And the situation at the moment is one of clear and present danger. We really are in a very, very precarious state at the moment. And people who are saying this is fear-mongering, these people are probably government shills, folks, because it's not fear-mongering to pay attention to what's around you and to call things for what they are and be looking for a solution or remedy to this situation. You know, that's what we need to be doing, folks. I mean, I started doing this and speaking out and doing the radio shows and saying the things I say simply because I believe it needs to be done. I believe people need to be speaking the truth, at least the truth as they know it, and they need to be offering their perspective to the world and calling things for what they are. And they need to be doing it without an agenda. There's so many people in this movement that seem to have an agenda, that seem to be stuck on a little path of my way or the highway. There's so many people who have found a piece of the puzzle and believe its remedy and will not accept the fact that they are only as valid as everybody else, and that only as worthy as everybody else, and that what they actually have is a piece of the puzzle. Sometimes it's a very valid piece of the puzzle, but none of it is remedy. I haven't seen anybody offer any remedy to this system that is going to work, because everybody has had this holier-than-thou, my way or the highway type of attitude. Not many people seem to be realizing that what they actually have is a piece of the puzzle, albeit a valid piece. But we have to be able to bring all of this together and apply ourselves in a respectful manner, folks. If we don't do that, we're not going to get anywhere. We've got to stand up together and call this system out for what it is. You know, we didn't join this movement or create this movement to have an agenda, to become a rock star, to become a celebrity, or to become the next big truth guru or the big guru of the alternate media. It's not what it's about. What it's about is attempting to wake the world up to the fact that this slavery system is destroying everything that is valid about the human experience, everything that is worthwhile about this reality, is being destroyed and is being controlled by a system which has basically infected the mind of the world. And we have to step away from it. We have to emancipate ourselves from this system because we cannot allow it to continue in the direction it's going. And we've got to stand up and call it for what it is, folks. And that's what this awakening movement and this alternate media movement should be about. It should be about seeking solutions, and it should be about respect. There's no point running down rabbit holes of endless debate unless you're prepared to address the problem that created the rabbit hole to begin with. Otherwise, you're just allowing the system to consolidate its power. And that's what it's doing, folks. It's consolidating its power very, very much right around the world right now. It's doing it through trade agreements, and it's doing it through the various wars that are being waged around the planet. And it's also doing it by the very, very distracted nature of any people who are looking into this situation and attempting to address this situation. And I really believe that if the alternate media and the so-called truth movement were to put down all their stuff with each other and were to show some respect for each other and were to simply stand up as one united voice and show all of the listeners and the huge fan base that the alternate media has, if we could show to all these fan bases that we all actually respect each other, that we're all working for a common cause, and that we're all working to actually free humanity, not to support our own agenda or sell books or whatever it is people are doing, then we'd make a difference. We'd get the respect of everybody, and we'd create a groundswell. And it's my great wish that people would put down their stuff and just allow this to happen, because it wants to happen. There's so many people I get mail from who respect what I say and can see the validity in what I say and all want this to happen as well. And yet there is so much division in the alternate media, and I believe most of it is controlled, folks. I really do. I think there's so much controlled opposition out there, and there's so many people that are working to promote division by their my way or the highway attitude. And my great hope is that the fan bases out there will start seeing this. They'll start realizing that if they're following someone and that person is speaking out against other people in the movement and trying to create division, then that person is either a government agent or a shill, or someone who's following the programming of a government agent or a shill. Because anyone who is trying to create disunity is part of the problem, folks. We really, really need unity. We have a clear and present danger, and we need to address it, folks. We really, really do. So with whatever rabbit hole you've got your head down out there, folks, just look and see if the people that are leading you down this rabbit hole are calling out other people along the way, and by doing so, essentially calling out for disunity along the way, because anyone who is creating disunity is most definitely part of the problem, folks. And all these rabbit holes, all these questions, all these mysteries that we have, all of these will be answered once we've gained control of the system, and we have an opportunity to do that now. And we need to put a little bit of focus there, I believe, anyway. I think that should be the main focus of anybody who is addressing anything or got their head down any rabbit holes or is researching anything. It should be about finding a solution to the problem, not just exposing the situation for what it is, but realizing what has created the situation to begin with. Because what they're going to find is that the situation has been created by legislation. It's been put in place by government, which is what has created the mystery or the rabbit hole to begin with. And if we have a strong, united, communal response to what our governments are doing, if one global community stand up and call this criminal system out for what it is, we'll change the world in a single day. And then all of the mysteries will be revealed, and all the rabbit holes will be open, and everything will be ready for us to explore. It'll be a great new era for humankind. And all of these mysteries, folks, we can answer all of these questions once we've got control of this system. We have an opportunity to do it, and it's time we put down all our stuff and stood up together and made a difference. We need to do it for our children, folks. We need to do it for the generations that are coming after. Now, it's not about personal gratification. It's not about personal glory to be the one who discovered the truth. It's not about any of that. It's about emancipation from a slavery system, and it's about freedom for the human condition for the first time in the human experience. That's what it's about, folks. That's what it's always been about. Sometimes we get distracted from that mission, but really that is what this whole movement has always been about, that has always been the focus. perhaps not for many within the movement. Perhaps many have sought to exalt themselves. There is certainly a little bit of a rock star feel to some of the people within the alternative media. But ultimately, that's not what it's about at all. What it's about is emancipation from slavery. That's what this whole thing has always been about. It's just that too many people have perhaps been talked into believing their own press. Too many people have accepted the adulation of the masses and it's gone to their heads. There are some who have made a tidy income out of presenting conspiracy theory to the world. But it's gotten to the point now where many people who listen to the alternative media and many people who get led down in many rabbit holes are becoming disillusioned with the whole thing as well, because they're beginning to see that they're being played. They're beginning to see that it isn't really about a spy novel version of reality. It isn't really about a great adventure story. It is about emancipation from slavery, and that the slavery system is consolidating itself very much around us due to people being distracted. Many people have been hoping that someone within the alternate media is going to lead them to safety, but they've neglected to see that the only people who can do it are the people themselves. We're only going to be led to safety, folks, when we can lead ourselves, and we're only going to find safety once the people out there who listen to the many voices in the alternate media decide that it's time for them to stand up and act in their own community. That's when we'll see some change to the human condition, folks. It'll be when people realize that they have to lead themselves and that there is nobody out there who can lead them to safety if they are not prepared to stand up on their own two feet and take the first steps towards freedom themselves. And that's an interesting thing as well, isn't it, folks, that even in the freedom movement, even in the alternate media, and even in the awakening movement, whatever you want to call it, people are still prepared to give their power away. And they do so in as much as they fail to realize that they can actually lead themselves. They simply have to be prepared to do so. But look, I think it's break time here, folks, so I'll have to leave it there for now, and we'll go and have a break. It's a pleasure speaking to you today, as it always is. Thank you very much for giving me your company, and I will speak to you again in a few minutes. Thanks for listening. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. So yeah, look, I really believe that one of the big problems that we face in the world today is political correctness. This is one of the great mental blocks that we seem to have in place. It's one of the mind control programs that they use to curtail people's thoughts and control what people say. Political correctness, folks, we can't offend anybody. We have to not call things for what they are. We have to be polite about it and just suggest the way things may be. This whole concept, folks, this is basically neutered creative thought. It's neutered freedom of expression. It's caused humankind to correct themselves and police their own thoughts all the time and be careful about what they say. And really, it's one of the biggest problems we face, folks, political correctness. We need to throw that in the bin straight away and not be politically correct. We need to simply call things for what they are. Political correctness and soft language has led us to this point, folks. It's allowed things to deteriorate to the point that they have by our failure to call things for what they are. I mean, political correctness allowed the war on terror to begin. Political correctness has allowed the situation in Gaza to deteriorate to the point that it is, and it's allowed the whole situation in the world to deteriorate to the point that it is. The whole war on terror, the whole ISIS, ISIL thing that's going on, people simply don't call it for what it is. They suggest that, oh, look, there looks like there may be connections here. Well, you just call it for what it is, folks. The whole thing's Western run. Stop beating around the bush and call it for what it is. It's the same as I was saying last week, the outlawing of cannabis. Call it for what it is, folks. It's a crime against humanity. It's not people making mistakes. It's people doing bad things. Like the whole invasion of Iraq, they recently said, Jeb Bush, I think, said that it was the result of bad intelligence, and had they had good intelligence, they wouldn't have made such a mistake. It wasn't a mistake. It was built on lies from the ground up. It was well planned and methodically executed. It was not a mistake at all. But we tend to be politically correct when we deal with these situations and when we talk about these situations. We've got to stop doing it, folks. We've got to begin calling things for what they are. Otherwise, we're never going to get anywhere. We're never going to make a difference if we don't stop beating around the bush. And the political correctness in the media is absolutely frustrating, folks. It's gotten to a ridiculous degree. I've mentioned before how they are so politically correct in the way they speak, and they use soft language with everything, and it controls the way people view situations. For example, when a politician commits a crime, it's presented to the world as a scandal. And when a normal person is involved in some sort of a scandal, it's presented to the world as a crime. The fact that Prince William was involved in a child slavery ring, it was called a terrible scandal. It's not a scandal. Child slavery is a crime. And this, again, is the result of soft language and political correct media reporting. I cannot really say enough bad stuff about the mainstream media, folks. I really can't. These people have really done a number on the world. They have sold the lie to the world. They've sold all these wars to the world, and they are really the most insidious organization that we have on the planet, folks. And let's not be politically correct in dealing with these people at all, because they have so much blood on their hands, it's ridiculous. Again, a lot of it due to political correctness. Political correctness in as much as people's failure to call them out for what they are, people's failure to call the government out for what they are, people's failure to call 9/11 out for what it is, and all of this ridiculous war on terror out for what it is, people's failure to rein our governments back under control and realize that we could stop all of the wars on the planet if we simply called our governments out for what they are, called this monetary system out for what it is, and stopped allowing our world to be destroyed because sociopaths write rubbish on pieces of paper. It's just ridiculous, folks. It really is ridiculous how we believe we are constrained by a legal system which is essentially fiction and which is allowing the earth to be destroyed around us. People marching to their own drum all the time and supporting their own agenda all the time and disregarding anything outside of their own little boxed view of reality. Things such as the free man movement, folks, people who are so locked in the fiction that they actually believe that it's going to work, all this free man stuff. And I went down that rabbit hole. I tried. I had a look at it all. And it's a great mechanism for exposing the fiction. But that's about all it is, folks. There is no remedy within the legal system. The only remedy we can expect to find within the legal system is if we can use elements within it to wake up the man on the street now, while the controlling hand still has to pretend that the legal system is real. They still have to pretend that it isn't fiction. And while people still believe in it, the man on the street still believes in it, we can use elements within it to wake these people up and to get them motivated and empowered. But people who believe that they can find a way out of the system simply by losing their name and stuff like this, folks, the people who control the system, they don't care if you lose the name. The thing is, the system is fiction, folks. It's fiction. And the people who control it at the top, they know that it's fiction as well. So they don't care if you lose the name. They already know it's fiction. If you wake up to the fact that it's fiction, well, they don't care if you wake up to that fact. They'll just tie you up in red tape or incarcerate you for a while anyway, because they can. There's a guy here who's been in jail for about 2 months now because he hasn't claimed his name. He's refusing to claim it. And he'll get let out eventually, but he'll have spent 3 months of his life being tossed around from jail to jail and eventually find himself back out on the street again after losing 3 months of his life. And folks, this is not winning. This is not winning when you have to battle against the system and spend weeks in jail and end up coming out the victor and all this sort of stuff. This is not winning, folks. You don't win when you lose the name. You win when they stop asking you for your name. And they're not going to do that until the fiction is exposed to everybody. And that's not going to happen by people wandering off and thinking that they're free while they're walking around within the slavery system simply because they've lost their name and they've spent 2 months in jail standing up for their rights. I mean, this is not freedom, folks. This is no remedy. This is simply wasting 2 months of your life that could have been spent on educating other people and could have been spent in some sort of positive action against the system. And this isn't going to work by the individual standing up. The individual has to stand up, sure, but they have to stand up with their community. The best thing the individual can do is to break down the barriers in their community so that the community will stand up with them and then they can all stand up together. Respect folks. You know, it's such an elusive thing, such a powerful thing, but such an elusive thing. And it's something that we could accomplish so much with, just a modicum of respect for each other. If people would simply put down all of their animosity and respect each other and allow people to be different to themselves, allow people to have different ideas and different thoughts and to investigate different things and simply respect each other enough to want to actually make some difference, respect each other enough to realize that there is a common cause for all of the problems that we face, and if we made some sort of a common effort based in respect for each other, we could change it. It really is incredibly frustrating for me to see it, folks. It's such a simple thing, and it's such an elusive thing, and it is the one thing that could change the world very, very quickly. You know, it really frustrates me. I don't know why people cannot see that all of the problems that we face have a common cause. Really, they do. I mean, everything comes from legislation, folks. Any limitation that we have is a result of legislation. Doesn't matter what it is, what country that you're in. If there's something that you're not able to do, it's because there has been a rule written down by somebody that said you're not allowed to do that. And if that something that you wish to do is something that is hugely beneficial for mankind, or something that is beneficial to you, something that is beneficial in your exploration of life, then why should you be prevented from carrying out that activity? You know, if there's things that you want to do and something that is curtailing your ability to express yourself to your fullest potential, then it's a result of legislation. It's a result of someone putting rules down and saying, no, you can't do this. And this really, folks, is a result of us giving our authority away. It's a result of us actually believing authority is real when it isn't. All that exists on the planet is just people, folks. It's just people. Nobody has any authority over anybody else. And what we have here, as I've said so often, is a system of employees, people that we appoint to manage infrastructure. That's all government is. And all they're doing is stealing from us. They're writing all these rules down, and we're going along with it, and we're allowing our planet to be destroyed. And we're allowing our life to be controlled, and everything about the human experience to be controlled. And it's really gotten to a ridiculous point, folks. The AI grid that they are rolling out, they're not asking anybody if we want this. They're just saying, well, we're going to do it because we think it's the best thing. But really, it's just a control grid. It isn't anything that's going to help human expression. It isn't anything that's going to improve the human creative potential or turn it into a more vibrant or prosperous future. It's a system which is going to control everything economically and make sure all the books are balanced. And this is the real problem, folks. This is what is wrong with the world, is the economic system that has been superimposed over human consciousness and over human reality. The fact that we are economically controlled in all that we do, and it's a system based in permanent growth. And when you really look at what's happening, folks, how this control grid is being marched out, how everything is being genetically modified, how everything is changing around us due to the actions of our employees, then you realize that there is no authority. There is no reason we have to put up with this. There is no sanity in any of this, folks. There simply isn't. And just going along with what is happening and going along with what's being rolled out is simply not the act of a sane mind. And it's really gotten to that point, folks. People have to ask themselves, are they sane or are they not? Because if they are, then they need to start standing up and calling things for what they are and changing the direction that we're going. Because where we're going is completely and utterly insane. And what we are doing, folks, is we're allowing the people that we employ to manage our infrastructure to create a control grid which is going to enslave this planet for generations to come. And it's happening due to our inaction, due to our propensity to argue with each other and snap at each other and bite each other's heads off and run down rabbit holes and not form any type of coordinated response against this system. And people say, well, what is the coordinated response that we should have? Well, folks, just call things what they are. I mean, that's a big part of it. That's the first step. I mean, even with Full Circle Project, people want someone to lead them to safety. people are waiting for me to come along and provide them with this grand remedy that's going to lead them to safety. They've just got to form their little action group in their local community, and then Max is going to come along with a plan that's going to lead them back to safety. Folks, stand up and call things for what they are. Get a group of people in your local area who all think the way you do, who all see there's a problem, and simply stand up and stop being politically correct and call things for what they are. Realize that all that exists on this planet is people. That's it. I mean, as far as our social system and as far as this control grid goes, it's just people. It's just a bunch of people. There's no one with any authority. There's no one who's special. If we simply stand up and call things for what they are, then we make a difference. That's what we need to do. And look, there'll be issues in your local area. There'll be issues in every local area that are specific to that local area. There'll be something in your local community that the community is not happy about. You can form an action group and take action against that problem or about that problem regarding that problem. But make the focus of your action directed at the root cause of the problem, which is the legislation that created the problem to begin with. We have to create these groups that are going to find what it is in their local community that is going to awaken their neighbours. What it is that's going to reach them. Whether they have a local market, whether they have a car boot sale, something that's going to break down the initial barrier and initiate some sort of dialogue to begin with. Maybe it's the local school, maybe it's the local roads. There's something in the area, there's something in your community that the community is concerned about that will unite them. And you can use that to create dialogue to then help people readjust their perspective of what is creating the problem in your community. Because the problem that has been created in your community is a result of politicians abusing their office. It doesn't matter what the problem is, folks, and it's the same in every single community across the planet. We have to find what it is that's going to create this dialogue on the ground and put this little spark of recognition in people's minds where they start to see that there is actually a higher harmonic and that all of the problems that we're facing have actually been contrived, and most of them are purposefully done by politicians simply because the politicians serve corporate interests and not the people. You know, what we've got to do, folks, is find a mechanism that's going to expose the corporate system to the man on the street in a way that they can see it and in a way that they can understand. That's what Full Circle Project is really about more than anything. It's about changing the meme. It's about changing the perspective of people and changing the way people look at things and changing where they direct their focus when dealing with these issues. And look, people are waiting for legal remedy, folks. They're waiting for a template that's going to work. But folks, it's going to be different in every single country. We have different laws in every country and they've designed it this way so that you can't create one overall template that's going to work in every country. What you need to do is shift the perspective of the people to the point where they don't need a template. They don't need to find which legal loopholes work in their country because they have an empowered community that is empowered enough to step above the whole thing. That's what we need to do, folks. We need to change the perspective and shift the consciousness of the people. But we have to do it with baby steps in a way they can understand. And that's going to be different in every community. It just is. So it's very, very difficult to provide anyone with a template that is going to lead them back to safety because the issues are going to be different and the consciousness is going to be different in every single community that we approach. And ultimately, folks, there will be no legal remedy that's found because there will be no legal remedy that exists within this legal system. The legal system hasn't been designed that way. It's been designed to protect the system, not to offer remedy to the people. But there are elements within it that we can use to awaken the man on the street. We can do this now while the powers that believe they be still have to pretend that their legal system's real. But like I said, folks, it's going to be different in every country. And what Full Circle Project is about changing the meme. It's about changing the idea in people's minds that they don't have power because they do have power. And if we have a strong, united, communal response to what our governments are doing, the governments have nowhere to go. They really don't. Governments are just a group of people that we employ. They have a police force, they have a military, they have all of these weapons around them, but ultimately they're ours as well. You know, and if we speak in a language that is legally sound, depending on which country we're in, I mean, something that is right for that legal system and something that is making sense to the man on the street. I mean, simply by calling things what they are, folks, this really does make a lot of sense to people. When you get rid of all political correctness and simply call things for what they are, it really does reach people in a language they can understand. And if we do that in each country, then we're going to find that we reach the military and the police and all the people within the system as well. And they're going to listen and they're going to say, well, yeah, this makes sense. And if we refuse to back down, then what are the governments going to do? They have nowhere to go, folks. We are able to stop them at this point. But it's going to take a groundswell of people, and it's going to be different in every country and in every community. But we need, whatever it is, we need something that's going to motivate that community, and it needs to be spread by a group of motivated people within that community, and that's what Full Circle Project is about. That's what these little groups of five we're suggesting you create are. You create this group of five and you start discussing ideas. What is going to work in your community? What is the topic of interest that is going to reach the man on the street, and what is the methodology you can use to spread the idea out through the rest of the community? That's what you need to be discussing. And you'll find that if you've got other groups of five in your community as well that are also discussing these ideas, and then you link up with these groups and you share your ideas, then you're going to find a way out, and you're going to find a way that works in your local community. But again, folks, it's going to be different for every community on the planet, and that's why it's very, very difficult to provide a template for anybody. All we can do really is provide the mechanism so that people have the ability to link up and start these discussion groups and then find out what it is. And then when you do have something that you believe is going to work, we can come and discuss it with us, and we'll offer our input to it as well, and you can share it with other people, and maybe they'll have some input, and together we can formulate a workable method that's going to work for most people, and work for most countries, and work for most communities. But again, the focus will be different in each community. The focal point will be different. The issue that you're dealing with may be different. But again, the situation that has created the problem, you're going to find, is going to be the same in every single country that we face, because it's all a result of politicians abusing the office that they hold. The problem is, folks, as I said, people want someone to lead them to safety. People are not prepared to act themselves. They're not prepared to put things into motion on the ground where they live, not unless someone gives them a little cart that they can push it along with. You know, someone needs to provide the framework and groundwork for them before they're able to do it. But as I said, it's going to be different in every community, so it's very difficult for anyone to provide that type of framework for you. You know, we are not going to find freedom for the human condition unless people are prepared to get involved themselves and people are prepared to act themselves. We're not going to find any emancipation from this slavery system until people are prepared to take the first step on the ground where they live. And we don't know what that is. I don't know what it is in your community that's going to work for your people. I could offer you an idea, and it would be something that is completely ridiculous in the situation that you're living in at the moment. So I don't know without going there. I don't know without going to all of these places. You know, I can't possibly know what the remedy will be in that particular country or that particular situation. You know, things that I can formulate here in Australia, where I happen to be, if I try to do these things in a place like Peru, it's just not going to work. It's going to be a completely different situation if I try to do them in Croatia or in Germany or in France. It's going to be a completely different situation because there's a different legal system and there's a different mentality, there's a different mindset with the people. And that's half of what it is, folks. It's the national mindset, the ethnic idiosyncrasies, if you will, of each particular country. And these idiosyncrasies are things that are unique to each country. They are peculiar to each particular race and each particular society. And so these are not things that you can provide a template for. These are not scenarios that you can deal with from outside that country. You have to have people on the ground in that country who know the way the country thinks and know the way the society operates and works and knows what language is going to reach the local people. And so you have these local groups on the ground that can look at this and can formulate some sort of a plan that is going to work for their local community because it's going to reach people in a language they understand. You know, I can't formulate a plan for Denmark here in Australia. Someone in Denmark has to do that. I can't formulate a plan for France from here in Australia. Someone else has to do that. I can't do one for Indonesia. I can't do one for America. I can't do one for all these other countries. I can only work with what I know and the people that I know in the community that I'm used to. And that's what we all need to do, folks. But we've got to recognize our own power in order to do this. We've got to see that we can make a difference if we choose to get involved. And all I'm suggesting is that you start discussing things with people. And what the Community Connector is about is linking all of these groups up together. And if you live in a community where there's nobody around you, well, maybe you can find someone to start a discussion group with. Maybe you can find someone to start an action group with. Because that's what we need, is action groups. I mean, even discussion groups, they need to turn into action groups, because you've got to be taking action to start rocking the boat in your own local community, folks. See, the problem is with all of these groups that have formed up to this point is that they all have had leaders, and everyone's been waiting for someone to lead them to safety. And what we've done with Full Circle Project is we've created a group that has no leaders. You need to lead yourself. What we've created with Full Circle Project is a mechanism by which you can do so, a mechanism by which you can link people up together and you can start formulating plans yourself, and then you can share your ideas with others so that together we can find the cream of all the ideas and we'll find a workable methodology that's going to be able to be applied to most countries. And we'll also be able to be inspired by looking at each other's actions and seeing the action that people are taking on the ground, and just inspire each other, folks. We need this inspiration. We need this support from each other. We need to know that there are other people around the world that think the way we do and that are taking a similar action to the action that we're taking. We need to know that there are people out there that are working to make a positive difference. But it's going to be different for everybody, and there can be no leaders in this movement, folks. There can be no one person who's going to lead mankind back to safety. It's simply not possible. We all have to lead ourselves, and we have to be prepared to do so. And that's what this is. The Full Circle Project is really a mechanism. It's a platform that people can use. More than anything else, that's what it is. But there is no magical remedy that's going to come along and be delivered to everybody on a little silver platter, and they can suddenly apply it to their reality, and the world's going to change. It's going to be a hard slog from the ground up, and people have to get involved and go out there and get their hands dirty. They have to go out there and get amongst the mud and get amongst the grime and start planting the seeds themselves in their own community, and then nurturing the seeds they've planted and helping them grow and flower and fruit into something beautiful. I mean, it's a big mission, folks. It really is. What we are attempting with Full Circle Project is a huge mission. It's a mission, an undertaking unlike anything that has ever been tried before. And it isn't going to be a cakewalk, and there are no easy ways through it. It's going to be a hard slog, and it's going to take the motivation of the people. It's going to take people getting involved on the ground themselves. But I'm sure there are those people out there who are motivated enough to want to do it. And I'm sure there's many people out there who share the vision and who can see that there is a way through this if we simply apply ourselves. And this is the time it has to happen, folks. We really do have to start making some sort of coordinated effort against this system. We have to start taking the necessary steps to bring mankind back to a point of safety. And that's what Full Circle Project is all about. But it isn't anything that is going to offer you a remedy or offer you a template that's going to lead you back to safety, folks. It's simply a mechanism whereby you can use this to find people in your area, and thereby you can all lead yourselves. Because that's what true freedom is, folks, and that's the only way true freedom will ever be realized in the human condition, is when people are prepared to stand up and bring it about themselves. But look, I think we've reached the end of the show here, folks, so I'm going to have to leave it there. Thank you for joining me on the air today. It's always a pleasure to come and speak to you. Thank you to anybody who has ever helped out with the website. I really, really do appreciate the efforts that people make, and it really is the only thing that keeps myself and the website going, so I thank you very much for that. But that is it for me, folks. I'm completely out of time. I look forward to speaking to you again next week. Please take good care until then. In Lakesh.